Hare Krishna. We have a great fortune that with His Grace, Dheer Shant Prabhu, is a Shri Prabhupada disciple. Prabhupada ji ke shishya hain. Aur 1972 mein Shri Prabhupada ji se pehli baar mile the Prabhu ji. Aur 1973 mein Prabhu ji ki diksha hui thi Shri Prabhupada ji se. To aaj hamara bahut bada saubhagya hai. तो हम जो है हरि बोल ओर से हरि बोल बोल के प्रभु जी का स्वागत करेंगे. हरि बोल. और प्रभु जी जो है यूके में बेसिकली प्रीचिंग करते हैं और साथ में अभी प्रभु जी का संन्यास इनिशिएशन होने वाला है. तो हमारा परम सौभाग्य है. सबसे प्रार्थना है कृपया ध्यान पूर्वक सुने. और किसी को हिंदी अनुवाद में अभी जो लेक्चर रहेगा वो इंग्लिश में रहेगा. किसी को हिंदी अनुवाद की जरूरत है तो अभी पीछे जो है अभी मैं हिंदी अनुवाद करूंगा साथ साथ. तो किसी को चाहिए तो आ सकते हैं. हरे कृष्ण.
I hope he said something nice about me. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tad Vishvarupam Bhajateshu Vipram. Tad Vishvarupam Rajataishu Vipam. Tapasvinam Tvastvam Atatmavantam. Tapasvinam Tvastvam Atatmavantam. Svabhajito nyansa vidasyate vo. Svabhajito nyansa vidasyate vo. Yadeshyam sishvadvam uthasya karma. Yade shamishadvam utasya karma. Tadvishvarupam bhajate shuvipram. Tapasvinam tvastvam atatmanavantam. Svabhajito nyansa vidasyate vo. Yade shamishan yam utasya karma. Tad, therefore, Vishwarupam, Vishwarupa, Bhajata. Just worship as Guru. So, immediately, Vipram, who is a perfect Brahmana, Tapasvinam, undergoing great austerities and penances. Tvastram, the son of Tvasta. Ata, as well as. Atmavantam, very dependent sorry, very independent. Sabhyajita, being worshipped. Artan, the interests. Sa, he. Vidasyate, will execute. Va, of all of you. Yadi, if. Samishyadavam, you tolerate. Uta, indeed. Asya, his. Karma, activities to support the daityas. Translation. O demigods, I instruct you to approach Vishvarupa, the son of Tvasta, and accept him as your guru. He is a pure and very powerful Brahmana, undergoing austerities and penances, pleased by your worship. He will fulfill your desires, provided you tolerate his being included, provided that you tolerate his being inclined to side with the demons. Purport. Lord Brahma advised the demigods to accept the son of Tvasta as their spiritual master, although he was always inclined towards the benefit of the Asuras. Text 26. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus advised by Lord Brahma, and relieved of their anxiety, all the demigods went to the sage Vishvarupa, the son of Tvasta. My dear king, they embraced him and spoke as follows. Text 27. The demigods said, beloved Vishvarupa, may there be all good fortune for you. We, the demigods, have come to your ashram as your guests. Please try to fulfill our desires according to the time, since we are on the level of your parents. Text 28. O Brahmana, the highest duty of a son, even though he has sons of his own, is to serve his parents. And what to speak of a son who is a brahmachari? Text 29 and 30. The acharya, the spiritual master who teaches all the Vedic knowledge and gives initiation by offering the sacred bread, is the personification of all the Vedas. Similarly, a father personifies Lord Brahma, a brother, King Indra, a mother, the planet Earth, and a sister, Mercy. A guest personifies religious principles. An invited guest personifies the demigod Agni, and all living entities personify Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu, one should observe all living entities to be on the same level as oneself. This means that one should be neglect, one should be neglected. That means that no one should be neglected as inferior, because Paramatma is seated in everyone's body. Everyone should be respected as a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse describes the different ways in which one should respect a guru, a father, a brother, a sister, a guest, and so on. Omagyatabhinandasya Chiranjana Salakaya Chaksura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Manchakalpatyubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitananam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you for inviting me to your temple. It is a great pleasure to be here. I will try to speak something that will hopefully inspire you to continue your service to Krishna. But actually, according to this verse, there is no one really higher and there is no one really lower. What's the problem? Huh? What's that? Hare Krishna, is that better? Huh? You want me to speak louder? I'm always a little afraid of these microphones and the sound. I have this feeling that maybe it's too loud, so I tend to speak more quiet. Just tolerate, okay? Now I forgot what I was going to say. What was I saying? As according to this verse, there is no one higher or lower, that in actual fact we're all interdependent on each other. I am sitting up here. You have put me on a high seat. And you are sitting on the floor. Okay, but if there was no one sitting before me, then I would have to give the class to the wall, and that wouldn't be very... Prabhupada did say that, if no one comes to hear, then you preach to the wall. Because if you preach to the wall, then at least you're preaching to yourself. So I have been put on this big seat, but in actual fact, I'm giving the class for myself. So I can hear, how am I serving my guru? You're thinking, well, he's a Prabhupada disciple, so we must come and listen to him. But I am actually dependent on you. Because it's more inspiring for me to see that there are persons coming to hear about Krishna Katha. That inspires me. I will have to give a class anyway, because I've been invited to do so. But what inspires someone giving a class is that there are some persons who wish to listen to the class. And it's okay when you start a class, there are many persons sitting listening to the class. But if I don't deliver something that is inspiring, by the end of the class there will be no one sitting here. So again, I have to think, how am I going to give the class this morning so that I say something that will enter into the heart? Once I gave a class, some 2 years ago I gave a class in one temple. And just recently one devotee came up to me, he said, yes, that class you gave 2 years ago, you said this and this and this and this. And I said, how do you remember that? How did you remember? 2 years has passed. And he said, well, I don't know. I guess what you said entered my heart and I cannot forget it. So it's not about me sitting up here and you sitting down there. It's about somehow or other me sitting here, assisting you, serving you. It's about, service is about knowing the person you wish to serve. See, there's one brahmachari already left, so he wasn't. But let me tell you one story. Can I tell you a story? In this connection, there was a great emperor. He was in charge of a great empire. This was in China. And he was getting old, so he said to his son, I want you to take over as leader. But in order to lead, you need to get trained up. You need some training. So I want you to go to one temple. It is quite some distance away. I want you to go to this temple and I want you to take shelter of the head priest. So he did that. He walked the distance. He arrived at the temple. He took shelter of the head priest. My father has sent me. He has sent me because he wants me to learn the art of being a leader. Please instruct me. So the leader of the temple, he said, yes, what I want you to do is go to the forest. It is at least 2 days' journey, and enter into the middle of the forest and sit down and come back after 1 year and report to me what you have heard. So, 1 year passed. He came back to the temple. He said, "My dear teacher, I have been to the forest and I have heard the sounds of the forest." So the teacher asked him, "So what did you hear?" So the student, the prince, he said, "I heard the hummingbird hum. I heard the bees buzz." You know, bee, buzz, bzzz. "I heard the wind rustling through the trees." And he was giving all these different sounds of birds and wind. And the leader of the temple, he said, "No. That is all very nice, but I want you to go back again and hear the unheard." And the prince was thinking, "What does that mean? To hear the unheard? If no one's heard it, how am I going to hear it?" But he went back. He did what he was told and he went back. Many, many months passed. And he was listening and listening. But he could not hear anything different than what he had already heard. So he decided to intensify his hearing. And it was so intense. Many days passed, many weeks passed, many months passed. But then one day, suddenly, he heard the unheard. Did you like that story? Huh? Yes. No. Then? Why don't you like? Give him a clap. This is the way I test you to see if you're listening. So his question is, what was it the Hun heard? He said, "Yes, my dear teacher, I heard the flowers opening up. I heard the sun warming the earth. I heard the dew dripping from the grass. I heard the worms underneath the earth moving. Have you seen these birds? They go like this. And they pull out a worm. They don't see nothing. They can hear. They're moving around like this. So his teacher said, "Yes, now you have become qualified to lead. He said, in your land, most of your citizens will not reveal their heart. But now, you will be able to read their heart. You will read their heart. And you will know how to help them. So this is a very important story, because in Krishna consciousness, it's not just about singing and dancing. Somehow we are dealing with each other. We have to know how to deal with each other in a way that we can even read the heart. There were two men. They were walking in the middle of a town center. There was a lot of noise. It was midday. Sirens, people, cars. And suddenly one of them said, "Did you hear that cricket?" And the other one said, "Cricket? How can you possibly hear a cricket in the middle of this town?" He said, no, I can hear a cricket." And he started to walk across the street, and he entered into a park, and under a bush and under some leaves there was one cricket. And the other one said, you must have superhuman ears. How did you know there was a cricket here?" So he replied, "No, it's not that my ears are different than your ears, but the question is, what do you want to hear?" So he demonstrated again. He said, "Come back on the street." He took some coins from his pocket and he threw them up in the air, and as they landed they made a sound. And all the persons that were passing, who were in 5 meters and hearing the coins drop, they all turned around thinking it was their money that had dropped. And he said, "There, you just see what is on their mind is money. So when they hear money, they think, 'Oh, this must be my money. Where is the money?'" To see the unseen, we have deities here. They're either statues or they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just to see, you just see statues. But to see the unseen means that we practice seeing the Lord personally present before us. To taste the untasted, what does that mean? To taste the untasted. Well, it means when we can either take prasad or we can respect prasad. Taking prasad means you just see it as ordinary food. It's breakfast time. It's lunch time. But to see that this is non-different than Krishna. Krishna is prasad, and prasad is Krishna. There is no difference between the two. So that is tasting the untasted. And this art of being able to see each other on an equal level, this is also a very valuable art. The humble sage sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, a dog eater, and an outcast. Why does he see them as the same? From the material point of view, there is a difference. But on the level, spiritual level, there is no difference, because each one is a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. What to speak of the fact that it's mentioned in this verse that the Paramatma is present next to the Atma. The Lord does not make distinctions. He enters into the heart of even the lowest creature and helps that creature make further progress. One time Prabhupada was in his room and his servant walked in and Prabhupada was looking down on the floor. And suddenly he called the servant. He said, You see this insect? It hasn't moved for 4 minutes. It means that it's hungry. Please pick it up, take it outside so that it can eat something. At that time, Prabhupada was the leader of an international society with 108 temples. You would think that he would have no time for this living entity that was lying on the floor. But he had time. He noticed the living entity. He didn't think twice. This living entity needs some help. It needs some food. So he made that arrangement. Please take it outside so that it can eat something. This means, this is the level of offering respects to everyone. Trinad api sunit chainad taro api sunishnana amani namanadina kirtaniya sadahare. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. So we see in the Hare Krishna movement that there are many devotees that start to chant very enthusiastically. They come running into Krishna consciousness, but then suddenly they go running out again. It's like a shooting star. One minute you see it, next minute you don't. So you may wonder, well, what is the problem? What is the problem? Because according to this verse, in order to chant the holy name constantly, we must wear the garland of Trinadapi. You have given me free garlands today. Do I look nice? Thank you. If you put another garland, I'll look even nicer. The more garlands you put on someone, the more it enhances their greatness. It's not just about being a devotee wearing dhoti, kurta and sari, tilak, but somehow we've got to develop these qualities, these very subtle qualities which is mentioned in that verse, Trinadapi Sunichena. Once I was giving a seminar about the holy name, and the last day I was talking about this, wearing the garland of Trinadapi Sunichena. So to be humble as a blade of grass, to be tolerant like a tree, actually you can embrace a tree. The tree is our guru. I was explaining that one day it was a very cold morning, snow everywhere, and I was in this forest, and I had this desire to go and embrace one of the trees. So I looked this way, and I looked this way, and then I went over and embraced the tree. I wanted to make sure no one saw me, because they think we're crazy already. It would be interesting to read in a newspaper, Hare Krishna embraces tree. But we can see the tree is our guru. He's so tolerant. He doesn't mind you carving your name on. He will not even protest when you cut it for some furniture or some firewood. It is so tolerant. And it remains in the same place for many, many years. He is our guru. The tree is our guru. Anyway, I was explaining all these things, and then suddenly when I got up from giving the seminar, I was walking out of the hall, and suddenly my back, I got some sciatica spasm, the nerve muscle hit the nerve, and I fell down on the floor. It was like Krishna was telling me, okay, you can speak very nicely, but why don't you give a demonstration to the devotees? And it was so bad, I couldn't move, I was just lying on the floor. The devotees had to carry me out to the van so they could take me back to my room. So it was very humbling that I saw this as Krishna telling me, it's very good that you speak. What you said is perfect. Very good what you said. But now give a demonstration how it is to go on the floor and not be able to get up. How long can you tolerate that? It was very humbling. I became very humble. So Krishna consciousness is like that. There's an immediate picture, but there's a bigger picture behind. The immediate picture, most of the time, it looks terrible. this problem, that obstacle. But the bigger picture means that these obstacles are a means by which we can take up more, make more advancement in our service. It is a means to be able to take further our concentration in whatever we're doing for Krishna. Obstacles are actually not obstacles. We call them special mercy. It is an opportunity to enter into a new field of our Krishna consciousness. So, if we have a choice, let's say the temple commander comes up and says, I have two services, you can pick one of the two. You can either clean the temple room floor, or you can clean the toilets. So which one would you choose? Well, my name is Dhirashanta. I'll clean the temple rooms. That's okay. Because you know who I am, don't you? In fact, I could even say I don't need to do any service. I'm a Prabhupada disciple. I could just go. Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. No. That's why I sit on this seat here. It keeps me up straight. We got to march forward. Well, I will clean the toilets because I will be able to experience that much more. It is a sacrifice. I'm giving up some false ego. I will be able to experience something new in my spiritual life. Or we could even say, I'll do them both. First I'll clean the temple room floor, then I'll go and clean the toilets. We can make these choices every day. What are we going to do for Krishna? How much are we going to surrender to Krishna? Because there's always this division. A little bit for Krishna, a little bit for me. Correction. Too much for Krishna, but more for me. This is divided service. Somehow we've got to come to the point of undivided devotional service. We have no material conceptions. This is what Krishna wants from us. And in order to get it, He will orchestrate these different arrangements so that we can make the choice. So this is a very instructive verse today. I hope somehow by my class I have entered into your heart to think, yes, I will take that little bit more step towards Krishna. Hare Krishna. There's 1 minute left for questions. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. What is the meaning of humbleness in a material world? Because everybody is moving right now towards money. What is the practical way to humble in material world?
Nothing wrong with money. Money is the honey. There's nothing wrong with anything in this world. If it's favorable, it can be used in Krishna's service. We are not Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, they say everything in this world is false. The only truth is Brahman. But actually, because everything is created by Krishna, everything is Brahman. So everything is truth. The only untruth in this world is when it's used for our own sense gratification. That is why we have a sika. We shave our heads because we don't want to enjoy ourselves, but we keep the sika because we want to offer everything to Krishna. So Mayavadis, they shave their head completely because they renounce the world completely. But what can you renounce? Do you have a house? Do you have a car? Supposing I come to your house tomorrow and I say, what's your name?
Vanshi Vat Krishnadas.
My dear Vanshivat
Krishnadas.
Vanshivat Krishna. My dear Vanshivat Krishna. I want to tell you something which is very important. This house and this car, I renounce. Your house, your car, I renounce it. You're going to say, what? How can you renounce something that doesn't belong to you? All due respects to you, dear Ashanta, but it belongs to me. How can you renounce it? So, everything belongs to Krishna. So what are these Mayavadis saying? I renounce this world. It is not your world to renounce. It belongs to Krishna. So we say, everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is an expansion of Krishna. Money is Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi should be offered back into the service of Narayan. So nothing wrong with money, but just use it for the right purpose to please Krishna. Okay?
Hare Krishna, thank you. One more question. You say the obstacles are special mercy from Krishna. How understand that is special mercy or that is our past karmas? That is how to recognize that. That is our special mercy and this is our past karmas.
In regards to devotees, we actually we do receive mercy because what we should get is much more severe. Would have been much more severe if we weren't chanting Hare Krishna. So for sure it is mercy. It's a token. We receive a token. A token aspect of what we would originally had. And in return, Krishna gives us other difficulties dealing with each other. That's one. He'll orchestrate so that one person from this side and one person on this side, he'll bring them together in a very melodious music, and then these persons face each other. Then what is going to happen? He will watch and see. Most of the time devotees are having some difficulty with relationships. This is because we have a false conception of ourself. The mind is also saying, he's my friend, he's my enemy. So until we become 100% Krishna conscious, we ourselves present complications for ourselves. So it's Krishna's mercy that he sends someone to teach us how to be more humble, how to be more tolerant. In essence, everything is Krishna's mercy. There's nothing that should not happen to you that happens. Even in the area of non-devotee life, the karma is controlled by Krishna. So it's Krishna's mercy. Although we have played a great part in that, because we have our good karma and our bad karma. But with the devotee, good and bad karma is taken away, and it's really Krishna's mercy. Whatever happens to a devotee, even devotees don't need to worry about astrology, because all that previous way of life has been dissolved. Krishna has taken personal charge of our life. I hope that answered your question.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
So, we'll stop there. Thank you very much for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Gaurinitai ki, Shri Panjatattva ki, Srimad Bhagavatam
class ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.